Hey, we are recording. My name is Ashley Tabolo. I am here with Christopher Hall. The date is July 8th, 2021. The time is 2:19 p.m. We are in Christopher Hall's house. So, Chris, I want to briefly review the informed consent and deed of gift with you. This interview is for the COVID-19 Oral History Project, which is associated with the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive. The COVID-19 Oral History Project is a rapid response oral history focused on archiving the lived experience of the COVID-19 epidemic. We have designed this project so that the professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to our open access and open source database. This study will help us collect narratives and understandings about COVID-19, as well as help us better understand the impacts of the pandemic over time. The recording, demographic information, and the verbatim transcripts will be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Library System for the use of researchers and the general public. Do you have any questions about the project that I can answer?
No.
Taking part in this study is voluntary. You may choose not to take part, or you may leave the study at any time. Leaving the study will not result in any penalty or loss of benefits to which you are entitled. Your decision will not whether or not to participate in this study will not affect your current or future relations with the Indiana University, IUPUI, or the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute. Participating in this project means that your interview will be recorded in digital video and or audio format and may be transcribed. The recordings and possible transcriptions of my interview, copies of any supplementary documents or additional photos that you wish to share, and the informed consent and deed of gift may be deposited in the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive in the Indiana University Library System, and will be available to both researchers and the general public. Your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, can you verbally confirm that you have agreed that your interview will be made available to the general public?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you. All right, so to get started, can you please state your full name?
Christopher Allen Hall.
Okay, and where do you live?
I live in Williamsville, New York.
Okay, and what are the things primarily that you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, your job, your extracurricular activities, etc.
I'm a teacher, and I do handyman work on the side.
At what grade do you teach?
I teach at the secondary level, special education.
Great. So let's start with the beginning of the pandemic. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? And have your thoughts changed since then?
I guess initially, because I read a lot about it in the news, I felt like it was pretty far away being up in China. And that's, you know, that they hopefully it wouldn't spread this way into the U.S. So it just seemed kind of like one of those things, you know, that you would just read about, you know, like other, you know, pandemics that they would say, oh, Ebola and all that other stuff, you know, it's coming your way and watch out. So I, you know, for me, it just seemed kind of surreal. So I didn't really think we'd have to deal with it. And then all of a sudden, the New York City started testing. And even then, it seemed far enough away that we might still be okay. And then they closed down all the schools one day, and then it started to feel more real when we all had to go into remote learning.
And talking about remote learning, you said you were a teacher, so that must have affected your job. So how did that affect your job?
Basically, it was less like teaching, especially initially. You know, the first year of it, people were unprepared. Students weren't logging on, and there was no accountability. They tried to improve upon that this year, but really, people were just kind of checking in periodically, and you couldn't really fail, so the kids kind of caught wind of that, and they really did absolutely nothing.
So. Were all your students remote? Did you have a hybrid model? What did
they were all like? Remote the first year of the pandemic.
And how was it like teaching them for those who did actually log in?
For me, because of my position, I had one student with special needs that really working on a computer is not really effective, and her mom ended up having to really teach her. I gave her a bunch of materials and gave her a tutorial on like what we did, our daily activities and what we went through. And, you know, we would check in periodically that first year. With my other students, I had resource students. So my position really turned into making sure that they were getting their work done. So I'd be checking their grades and not teaching them as much as I would normally. It was tough to get them to even just do their day-to-day work, yet alone like work on study skills and things of that nature. So really, I was just calling up, calling their parents, you know, and trying to get them to engage.
And how has COVID-19 affected your family life, your personal life?
My family and personal life is pretty much the same. We're pretty sedentary people. I don't like to leave the house anyway, so it really didn't change my life that much. I would only go out if I had to before, so I didn't really mind it so much. I guess it kind of is one of those things where, you know, the times you do want to go out, it felt odd, but overall, I feel like it kind of brought people, you know, forced people to stay with their families more, which in some cases, you know, people hate their families, so, you know, it's probably bad, but, you know, we didn't really have any problems because we're around each other all the time anyways.
Did you feel any particular stresses being a parent during the epidemic?
I think it's one of those things with like this generation of you try to do everything for your child and you feel guilty if you don't do anything. And I think that's maybe it was amplified. I don't think anything was really, you know, different per se. It was just like you're like, oh, I, you know, we're missing out, and you're worried about, you know, worried about our daughter more, you know, being able to have friends and do things and have like a normal childhood. So you felt like kind of guilty not being able to kind of give those things to them. And we tried our best to kind of make it a little bit normal. I don't think she noticed any difference either way. But.
And how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community?
I'm not really sure. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't think it's really changed the community that much. I don't really know. I feel like for some people, I mean, because COVID kind of overlapped with, you know, the election, that it was kind of one of those things you're not really, you know, a lot of people are divided politically, and that kind of followed lines along with COVID too, with people vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So, all right, what's the next question?
How do you feel about the way people responded to the pandemic?
It's kind of a mixed bag. Like some people, you know, obviously still say it's fake or, you know, overblown and all of that. And then I feel like other people from the other end, you know, and I was probably more towards that other end, were overly cautious because we didn't really know like what the actual percentages were because they weren't doing any testing. So you didn't know if like 20% of the population had it or, you know, 0.5%. And the numbers were actually a lot lower, and probably way more cautious than we needed to be. You know, but we're now, our numbers are the same or even a little higher, and we're taking a lot less precautions. So.
Well, have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the outbreak?
I mean, I know some people I've worked with, like there's a bunch of teachers who got it. So when this year for teaching in the 2020-2021 school year, one of the teacher aides had it that was in my room, so, and she gave it to the other teacher that she worked with and a bunch of the other teacher aides, so we had probably 7 to 10 staff members that contracted it, and I had to go get tested, but I didn't have it. I have my like theory that I may have had it like really early on, but, you know, because the time frames we didn't know about, I didn't know if there was no testing. It would have been, you know, very, very early, but it definitely didn't seem like the flu. So I think I was maybe a little bit immune to it, and that's why I didn't get it.
And were those teachers okay?
Yeah, some of them still are kind of like, you know, they were older, so they kind of didn't breathe great before, after going up the stairs, but I think they're having a little more trouble even now after three flights of stairs. They sound very winded. But yeah, overall, a majority of them are probably asymptomatic. It's just, you know, they ended up having to put the whole school, you know, into remote again because there are so many teachers with it and so many exposures or possible exposures.
And what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
Most of the news would be from the internet. I'm fairly liberal, so CNN, NPR, local news, WIVB, but I feel like they didn't really keep that stuff updated. Every so often I check like Fox News just for fun and a giggle. But, you know, so most of it would be from the internet. I read the news like 3 or 4 times a day.
And do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders responded or are responding to the crisis in different ways?
Yeah, I feel New York State did fairly well where other states were, you know, sticking their heads in the sand and, you know, trying to just pretend it would go away on its own, which to some extent, I guess, in their minds, it has. I feel like New York State responded fairly well. It was just a lot of back and forth. I feel like, you know, it's important that they have these standards, but then that they kept on changing the standards and nobody really knew what was what, you know, at any given time. But overall, I feel like New York State did pretty well at responding to it.
And what about the country in general?
The country is definitely mixed. You know, Republicans will probably have a lot less voters come the next election because, you know, like it became a political divide, whether to protect yourself or wear masks and to make issue. And a lot of the other states, the Midwestern and Southern states, you know, didn't do well, fare well with it. And considering that their population's lower and that they're farther removed from like the original epicenter, that they shouldn't have gotten hit as hard as they did, but they definitely didn't do well in their response.
And has your experience with this whole pandemic transformed in any way how you think about your family or friends or the community in which you live?
Yeah, I mean, especially initially, you see everyone doing the panic shopping and worrying about, and then you really come to realize that there are, you know, people out there that will do the right thing, and there are people who do what's right for themselves. Like all the panic shopping and people running out, and then you're worried about, well, you know, will there be enough for our family? And, you know, people start to, their circles get smaller, their social circles definitely get smaller, and they only worry about their family and then themselves and, you know, the people in their household, you know, comes first. And you definitely see that kind of survival of the fittest mentality kind of manifest as, you know, even just over toilet paper, people go crazy for. So I couldn't imagine if people were short on food, you know, in reality, that what would happen, you know, that it'd probably be mass chaos in the U.S. as a result.
And how does this pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
It was more widespread, but I feel like it was not as immediate. Like, I didn't have anyone who died that was close to me. There's some people, you know, who may have contracted it, some people, you know, that I knew had it, but it didn't seem as severe for me as it was for other people. Like, I do realize that a lot of other people, it definitely was a way bigger issue when you have like a close family member die, and I didn't have that. So I feel like it was probably less traumatic for me. You know, it wasn't really that bad. We didn't have to like deal without anything, or really it's just change our, you know, our socialization patterns is all.
And final question is, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
Definitely a quicker response and to treat things, you know, like they're real. Like, especially China said, you know, if China's saying this virus is bad, I feel like there should have been an absolute complete lockdown of the entire country. I mean, we aren't an island, but our borders are probably, you know, we'd be able to quarantine enough to keep most of the people out. The fact that business drives America, all those guys coming in and out of the country for months on end, and there was no stop to it, I feel like they could have, you know, definitely lessened the blow, and then we would have been able to have a vaccine before, you know, 600,000 people, you know, died. if countries would take it a little more serious. So hopefully, you know, the next time it happens, but in 100 years, everyone will forget. So, you know, I'm sure the exact same thing will happen again.
Yeah, well, hopefully not, but on that dour prediction, we'll end our interview. Thank you very much for your time and your contribution to the archive.